Hey, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to share a message from God's Word. And I've prayed over the message, and I've asked the Lord to allow it to be biblical and relevant and, of course, practical. We want to be able to be a help to our members today and those that are listening to the message. So go ahead and grab your Bible and join me. We're getting ready to get started. God bless you. Well, good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Blessings to you. I trust you're having a great morning. I'd like for you to join me in the book of Galatians again today. This morning, chapter 4. We begin a brand new chapter in our study. And we've been really behaving ourselves here, going through chapter after chapter, right? And a lot of times I get bored with my own self. And so I'll divert. But I've been enjoying studying through Galatians and this morning, chapter number 4. And I'd like for us to read down just a little bit. We're probably just going to cover a couple of verses in our study this morning, pick it back up next week. But I want us to read together beginning verse 1 and then let's read down to verse 7. May we do that? Is that good? Everybody good? Y'all have a Bible? Go ahead and wave at me. Just to make sure you're here and you're alert. Is it comfortable where you are? Yeah? Good. I thought I saw it. Did I see Stephanie? Hi, Steph. Welcome back. Man, you look great back there. I'm glad. We prayed for you. I'm glad you're doing better. Good to see Steve and Stephanie back. Lil Seltzer's doing well. She'll be back. You know Lil, right? She plays the guitar in the group here. She had hip surgery. And I spoke to her the other day. I said, how's things going? She said, I'm doing well. Can't wait to get back. So when I come back, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to move a little bit. So don't move too much. You'll throw the other hip out. We're happy for her. And so praise the Lord. Let's read together. Verse 1. Now, Paul speaking, churches in Galatia. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, now that's important because that makes it personal. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
All God's people said, that was rich. That was rich. That's powerful. And I love that text of Scripture. It's familiar to us, especially verse 4, 5, and 6. Because verse 4, 5, and 6, we usually speak a little bit about that in December. Because in December, we celebrate the birth of Christ. You know, and we look at it where, you know, God, fullness of time, just at the right time, at the most appropriate time, sent forth his Son. Of course, we understand that our Savior Jesus was born of a virgin. Right? Which makes him God's son, not man's son. And so we usually look at that text of Scripture. But this is just a rich passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul shares with the churches in the region of Galatia. And as I look at that, I want to highlight verse number 5. And I want you to notice the words, the adoption of sons. You see it? Let's read it together. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Take that in for a second, would you? Think about that. Say it with me, the adoption of sons. The adoption of sons. So let me ask you a question. How does one access the family of God? How does someone enter into the family of God? How do we gain access into God's family? Is it through a new birth? Is it by being born again? Or is it through the adoption of sons? We'll take that in for a second. How does you and I, how does the average person, How does someone who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, how do they access the family of God? How do we enter in? Is it through being born again, the new birth? Or is it through what Paul says here in chapter 4, verse 5, the adoption of sons? Well, the answer to that question is this: yes. Say it with me, yes. So how does someone enter in? Did you ever ask somebody a tricky question? So, Pastor, how does someone enter into the kingdom of God? How does someone enter into God's family? How do we gain access? Is it through the new birth, through being born again? Or is it through the adoption of sons? And I would say to you, yes. And you'd say, huh? Go and say it, huh? Huh? You know what that means? I don't understand. Huh? And I would say this, it's both. It's both. It is both being born again and it is being adopted into God's family as a son or adult son. And so let me explain. In order to understand this text, we need to understand several words. Do you highlight your Bible? Do you underline in your Bible? Do you circle things in your Bible? Do you at least take a mental note? I want you to take a mental note of a few words that will help us understand this text of Scripture. I want you to note the word heir. Do you see that? H-E-I-R, heir. You see that often in the New Testament, heir. I want you to note the word child, and then the word servant, and then the word tutor and governor, and then the term, the adoption of sons. Right? And so these words are important. You know, it was Jesus. Now pay attention right here. It was Jesus, and this is going to get practical, right? I always try to give you something practical to take with you. However, I need to explain the text first. And this is where it gets, I need to put, do you remember your school teacher used to say, hey, put your thinking cap on? Where's the old people? Oh, look at you. I can't believe you identified. Yeah. So I remember as a kid, my teacher said, put your thinking cap on, you know? And I said, I didn't bring it with me. I never did. I just never did. But I want you to think with me. It was Jesus who first used the words born again. Right? Over in John's Gospel. You remember the story. I won't get into it. Jesus uses the words born again in answer. It was an answer given to a man who was seeking clarity on eternity. Right? And I'm being really deliberate with what I'm saying. And so someone comes to Jesus. He's seeking clarity on eternity. In other words, he's saying this, like I said a moment ago. So Master, he said, Rabbi, Master, How does one access God's kingdom? How does one enter into God's family? And Jesus, in response, said to him, what did Jesus say to him? That's what it sounded like up here. He said this, ye what? You must be born again. You must be born again. He's saying this, in order to access, Jesus speaking, in order to access God's family, you need to have a spiritual birth or be born again. Why? He says this, because your first birth didn't work. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Marvel not, Jesus said, that I said unto you, you must be born again. Peter comes along, the Apostle Peter. And in time, as Peter grows and matures and becomes a real preacher, Peter goes on and says this, you need to be born again, not of corrupted seed. You remember that? You can read it for yourself. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 23. We're not born again by corrupted seed. In other words, what he's saying is this, it's not through human birth. Why? Our seed's corrupted, right? And so how does one, according to Jesus, according to the Scripture, according to Peter, how does one gain access into God's family? And we would say, you must be born again. But then we come to this text, and Paul begins to speak in verse number 5 about the adoption of sons, right? And get it. Let me just walk it back for a moment. Let me give you the backstory. Jesus, Paul was preaching to these individuals in the region of Galatia, and as he's preaching the gospel, man, they get saved. They accept Christ as their Savior. And we had said this, we gave the scenario, the look, and we said, you know, they hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God begins to convict them of their sin, They accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in their life, and they're saved. Isn't that wonderful? They're saved. But I don't think they understood, like you and I, when we first got saved, I don't think they understood the whole concept of salvation. And Paul, little by little, is he's beginning to, you know, kind of unload the truck. Little by little, he's opening up the package, and he's explaining to them what that really means. And here in verse number 5, Paul begins to talk about the adoption of sons. Now, listen carefully. The key to understanding this text is the mention of the word heir. In verse number 1, now I say the heir, as long as he is a child. Right? Now, you don't need commentary for that. You know what an heir is, right? He is someone who's been listed as being a recipient of an inheritance. Have you ever been an heir? Have you ever inherited anything? Wow, you must be a bunch of paupers. Someone over here said yes. How many of us would say, Pastor, I've inherited nothing but trouble? There you go. So, yeah, we've got an inheritance. So you understand what an heir is. And he says the heir, as long as he is a child, right, differs not from someone who is a servant. I promise you, in this text, that word servant means slave. I'm not talking about you and I being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's saying this, and by the way, these individuals understood this conversation. They understood what Paul was talking about here, because in the realm, you know this, there is a coming of age kind of a thing for Jewish people, right? Huh? What, somebody just said it. What is it? Yeah, a bar mitzvah for the guy, and a bat mitzvah for the girl. How old? 13? 13 years old. So it's a coming of age. So Paul's saying this, if the heir is a child, he's no different than a slave, which means what? They don't have access to the benefits. Are you with me? Somebody say, we're with you, preacher. So Paul says, an heir, as long as the heir is a child, he doesn't have full access to the benefits. No, he's under tutors or governors. We might say this, he's under a guardian. He's under guardianship. And because he's a child, he doesn't have the total access to the trust fund. Somebody oversees it for him. Does that make sense? Look at it. You think I just made that up, don't you? It's there. Look at the verse again. Verse 1. Now I say the heir, as long as he's a child, differs not from a servant or a slave, though he be Lord of all. What's that mean? Even though the child is the heir, because he's a child, he's no different than a slave. They can't access the full benefits of the inheritance. Are you getting it? Verse 2. But he's under tutors or governors until the time appointed. There's guardianship. Someone oversees the trust for him. Why? Well, because if a five-year-old finds out he's got $1 million, he's going to Toys R Us. It's not even open anymore. Now he's going on Amazon. I was talking to my grandson yesterday. He's just turned eight years old. The youngest grandson, not the youngest grandchild, youngest grandson, just turned 8 years old. And his name is Mattis. And I said, happy birthday, Mattis. I said, Pop got you something for your birthday. I said, I got you new pencils for school. I got you a ruler. And he looked at me like, are you out of your mind, dude? Huh? I mean, he gave me that look like, and he said, Pop, I already got that stuff. So you know what he already did? Let me tell you what the little fella already did. The little guy already went on Amazon, made a shopping list, and sent it to Pop. Pop, I made it easy for you. All you got to do is pay for it. Could you imagine if I said to the dude, you got $500 to work with? Man. So Paul is saying this to the Galatian believers. He's saying, as long as the heir is a child, he differs not from a slave. A slave has no right to access the full benefits of a family. No, the slave only gets what's given him. And the child, he says, he's under tutors. And then he says this in verse number 3. He says, even so we. Now that changes everything. Pay attention here. That changes everything. Does your Bible say that? Even so we. So now Paul is saying, he's giving them a history lesson or a doctrinal lesson. And then he says this. Now, look up here for a second. He says, let me make it practical. Let me make it practical for you. Even so we, look at it again, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. And then he gives us this tremendous truth. But maybe we'll look at it next week or the week after. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman under the law to redeem them that were under the law. That's us. That we might receive the adoption of sons. So what's he saying here? Listen to me carefully, and I'll make a turn. When he says, even so we, he makes it applicable for us. And here's what he's saying. When a person is born again into God's family, now listen to this. When a person is born again into God's family, they are treated as adult sons. Amen. I want you to let that sink in for a second. Let that sink in for a moment. When a person is born again into God's family, they are treated like adult sons. So what, listen carefully, what happens is this. On day one, we have access to the benefits. Did you get that? I didn't give this message a title. I just wrote there, Adoption of Sons. But if I were to give it a subtitle, I would call it this. Pay attention right here. Day one benefits. Day one benefits. Huh? Paul says this. So, Pastor, how do we gain access into God's family? Well, you gain access by being born again, a spiritual birth. How does that happen? When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you are born into God's family. You recognize you're a sinner. You recognize you need a Savior. You recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And you accept Christ as your Savior, and now you're saved. You're a child of God. And once you become a child of God, you're not treated, look here, you're not treated as a child. No, you're treated as an adopted son. The adoption of sons, which means you are given, pay attention right here, you are given access, immediate access to the benefits. Somebody's got to say, that's good. That's good. You mean as a child of God? Thank you, Rich. He said, good word. I like that. You mean as a child of God, when I get born into God's family, immediately I have immediate access to the benefits? And the answer to that is, uh-huh. Say it with me. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I like that, don't you? Listen carefully. Adoption guarantees our inheritance as an adult son. So which is it? How do I gain access? You gain access by being born again and then treated as an adopted son with full benefits. Access to all the benefits of God's family. Wow. How about that? So I thought this, what does that look like for us today? Right? What does that look like for me today? What does that look like for you today? What do these day one benefits include? Huh? Did you ever go for a job? Anybody work? You ever go for a job? Right? I mean, you don't want to be too forward, but in the back of your mind, you want to know what? What am I going to get paid and what are the bennies? What's the benefits here? Right? Oftentimes we say this, I mean, that's all that matters today because benefits are enormous. You know, try to go pay for your own health insurance and your own this and that and the other. So what are the benefits and how long, pay attention right here, how long do I need to work here before what? The benefits kick in. Right? And don't you love it when the employer says, day one? And you say, what'd you say? Day one? You mean to tell me I get full benefits on day one? And the employer says, uh-huh. And then you say, could you put that in writing? And God said, okay. I'm making this as practical as I can make it. I mean, I'm putting it right down here on the table. All you got to do is come get it. So what are the day one benefits that you and I have full access to? Here's what I did because I am such a nice guy. I made you a neat little list of day one benefits. Isn't that awesome? On the way out the door, you can pick up that list. But I'm going to talk about it just for a couple minutes, if you don't mind. Day one benefits. What are the day one benefits? All right, here's one. Full membership into God's family. Woo-hoo! Did you get that? Somebody say, woo-hoo! Full membership into God's family on day one. Wow. I like the way John the Apostle describes this same truth. Look at the screen. 1 John 3, verse 2. John speaking. He said, beloved, look at this. Now are we the sons of God. When? Now. When? Now are we the sons of God. I like this. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. Look here. You're not looking at a finished product. No, I got a long way to go. And I'm not looking at a finished product. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but this is what we know. What do we know? We know that when he shall appear, because Jesus is coming again. Look what it says. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the sons of God. Hey, look, when you get born into God's family, you have full access to membership. I mean, you get the full package. Listen to this. Salvation is not progressive. How many know what that means? There's a lot of things in life that are progressive, but salvation is not one of them. What I mean by that is this, and pay attention to this real carefully. You're not being saved. You are saved. Big difference. Big difference. You don't have to keep coming to Open Bible Baptist Church every Sunday to be saved. You just need to keep coming every Sunday to grow and to worship and to experience God's blessing but not to be saved. Why? Salvation is not progressive. Aren't you glad? Look here. If salvation was progressive, I'd have lost it a long time ago. How many would say the same? If it were progressive, I'd have lost it. You know why? Because after I got saved, I didn't immediately start going to church. And when I started going to church, I didn't immediately start going regularly or faithfully. And so if it's a progressive thing, I think all of us, we'd be in trouble. But salvation is not progressive. Listen, on day one, you and I, we are considered a child of God. Oh my goodness, why is it only making me happy? Me and Shay, we're the only people getting happy here. On day one, look here, you know what that means? There's no waiting period. Man, that's good. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Day one, I'm in. Has anybody ever adopted a child on earth? Anybody? Tony? Yeah. You don't walk up to the office, right, Tony? Correct me if I'm wrong. You don't walk up to the office and say, hey, my name is Tony Coleman. I'm a pretty good guy. Not all the time, but most of the time. I forgot my wife was with me, so correct me. And so we've decided we want a kid. And so they say, okay, what age? 4, 5, 6, 10, 13, 20, what do you want? Somebody can support himself or somebody needs help? No, don't work like that. And then the person behind us says, okay, give me 5 minutes. I'll be right back. They go into the back to the warehouse and they look for a 5-year-old. Oh, here he is. And they come back out and say, will this one work? Tony says, nah, just not the right. No, it don't work that way. You know what happens? They put the application in and they get vetted and then they go through a process and then eventually, but that's not the way it works in heaven. That's not the way it works for you and I. The moment you and I put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean to tell you, same day, no waiting period, no internship, full membership into God's family. That's good. Boy, that's good. I like that. Good word. Yeah. On day one, we have full membership with all rights and benefits. Look at our text again. Go back chapter number 4. Look at verse number 6. Paul says, and because ye are what? Did you see the terminology? He said, and because you are becoming. No, that's not what he said. He said, because what? You are. Big difference. Are you being saved or are you saved? I don't know about you, but I'm saved. I'm saved. When I put my faith in Christ, I'm saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say will become saved. He shall be saved. He will be saved. Day one benefit. Wow. Can I go on? Let me share a second benefit. Listen to this one. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Day one. Day one benefit. When you and I, when we accept Christ as our Savior, now pay attention because this can get a little tricky, but when you accept Christ as your Savior on day one, in fact, I'll use the word immediately, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God comes to indwell us, take up residence in us. Look up here for a second. How many of us would honestly say now, quiet this down for a moment, I'm saved? Would you raise your hand? I'm saved. I know without a doubt I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I accept Christ as my Savior. Right? Put your hand back down. How many of us understand the fact that God's Spirit indwells us, lives inside of us, never to leave us nor forsake us? How many of us understand that? I mean, right now, right here today, God's Spirit is in us. Go back to verse number 6 of our text. He says, and because ye are sons, look at it, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, where? Into your hearts. Because you're sons. How did that occur? I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the day I was saved, I became a son of God. John 1, verse 12, right? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now, look here. When the Bible uses the term sons of God, it's speaking about everybody. It's talking about sisters, too. Where's all the sisters? Go ahead and wave at me. Oh, you're included here, too. I'm talking to you, too, sisters. So it's brothers and sisters. It's sons and daughters. It's the family of God, right? It's all of us together. I like that. And when you become a child of God, God sends His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into our hearts. Wow. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in our lives. And we are, listen to this, we are never alone. We're never alone. Look here, His presence does not become active when you recognize it. His presence is there whether you recognize it or not. His presence doesn't turn on like a light switch and turn off like a light switch. It's not when you get up and finally say, oh, Holy Spirit, hello. No, He's there. You wake up in Him. You live in Him. You go to sleep in Him. As you're sleeping, you're in Him. Never leave. Never forsake. He's a constant in our lives. Why? Because that is a benefit that comes to you and I on the very first day. On the very first day. You know, when leaving earth, Jesus told His disciples that He would send them another comforter. You remember that terminology? Remember that chat? His disciples were all kinds of discouraged. You know, that's why I said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. And in the same passage, He goes on and says, it's really important for Me to go so that I can send you another comforter. You know what? When you study out that word another, it means of the same kind. Right? You've heard me say this before. The best way I can describe that is this. Carol Mason, where'd she go? Carol makes me a pie. Happy birthday, Carol.
Thank you.
It's her birthday today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Carol's a great baker. How many of you know that?
Yep.
Carol bakes me a pie, or she bakes a pie. She brings it to the pie fellowship next week. And I say, oh, is that Carol's? I have a piece of that. I'm sure it's going to be good. Even if I don't like what it's called, I'm sure it's going to be good. And so I have a slice of that pie, and boy, I tell you what, it's amazing. And I say to Carol, can I have another? Now, Carol baked three pies. She baked the lemon one, the blueberry one, and the apple one. I had the lemon one, so I said, can I have another slice? And she says, you want the blueberry or the apple? I said, no, I want another one. Another one of what? Of the same kind I just had. I want the lemon, sister. Don't shortchange me. Jesus said this, I'm going to go back to the Father, and I'm sending you another member of the Godhead. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's as equal with God as I am. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. That's the triune God, right? Co-equal, co-eternal. One God, three persons. Jesus said, it's important for me to leave. Why? Because I need to go and take my place at the right hand of the Father so I can pray for you. However, you'll not be alone because I'm sending the Holy Spirit, who is just another member of the Godhead, God himself, to take up residence in you. And all God's kids said, man, that's good. You mean to tell me God lives in me? Uh-huh. He's not only with us, God is in us. And that is a benefit that comes to you and I on the first day. The first day. Access into God's family. On the first day, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Man. Huh? All I'm really doing is I caught Paul's notes. You don't have them in your Bible. I have them in my office. This is exactly what Paul was telling those believers in Galatia. I have Paul's notes in my office. That's exactly what he's saying to them. You have same-day access, full membership into God's family, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Can I give you a third? Amen. Here's the third. We gain immediate access into God's throne room. Amen. Same day. Huh? Day one benefit. I like that, don't you? Pay attention here. I'm given a personal invitation to access the throne. You remember Jesus when he was talking in John's gospel? I love this text. He begins to talk about he being the door to the sheep, the sheepfold. Right? He's the door. You know, he says the thief enters in another way. He climbs in the back. He comes in the back door. You know, but all those that belong to me, they come through me. He's the door. And you gain access into his presence through him. That's why we often say this. Do you ever hear somebody pray and at the end of their prayer they say, in Jesus' name, amen? Huh? You know how you ought to begin your prayer? Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Why? Because he's the door. I want to get in the beginning, not at the end. He's the door. And there's an open invitation to you and I. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You know this verse. Look at the screen. Here's an invitation. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the need of time. Huh? What an invitation for you and I. And that word therefore means as a result of. If you read that text of Scripture, as a result of. And in Hebrews chapter number 4, it's speaking about the context, is speaking about our salvation. And our high priest has opened the door so that we might enter in. Our high priest being Jesus. Jesus. And so on day one, we have access to the throne of grace. On day one. And if you were to take that verse apart, and I promise you, I prayed this morning. I said, Father, today I need your mercy. And I'm thankful that you've promised to give me mercy. I like Lamentations 3, where it talks about his compassions fail not. His mercy's fresh and new every morning. God is merciful. And then he gives me grace when? When I need it. Huh? When I need it. In the nick of time. I don't have tomorrow's grace. I have today's grace. Have you ever come to experience that where something occurs? I can only refer to my dear wife. And you know, Donna's a cancer survivor. And she's battled it twice and beat the snot out of it. I'm telling you, man, she is so strong. And I'll never forget the first time. She was just a young girl. And she's a young girl now. Look at her. She's married to an old man, but she was just young. We had young children. And I'll never forget when we went to the hospital and they did the everything, the biopsy and all that kind of stuff. I was waiting in the waiting room. Donna was in the other room. And the doctor came out and told me first. He said, listen, he said, it is cancer. She found two lumps on her breast. It is cancer. And I just fell apart. I mean, I just fell apart. I didn't know how to respond. I was a hubba hubba. And he says, let's go tell your wife. And I thought, oh, my goodness, do I have to go with you? And so we walked back to where she was, and she was lying in the bed, and she was fine. She was wide awake, and doctor, you know, got near her, and he told her the news. And you would think Donna would have reacted like me. Oh, my. Oh, no. We have young children. What do we do now? Man, my wife, I'm telling you what, all of a sudden she became this rock of Gibraltar. And she looked at the doctor and she said, okay, so what do we do now? And I wanted to say, huh? What? You got medication for this? I need some right now. And I mean to tell you, she just, and you know what happened? Here's what I realized. I'm a pastor of a church preaching this word, and I realized finally God's grace kicked in. We didn't have it yesterday, but she certainly had it at that moment. And not only, listen carefully, listen to this. It carried her through, man. I mean through the surgery, through the treatment. She had the chemo and the radiation. And then I'll never forget, we went to her cancer doctor, who was a great guy. And I'll never forget, we're sitting in the office, and Donna's just a great witness for Christ. And he's saying, now, Donna, we're going to need to get you some counseling. And he's got all these, I mean, he's got listed all these PhDs and, you know, ABCs and all these other guys with degrees. And Donna said, I'm good. I said, no, Donna, you don't understand. She said, no, doc. You don't understand. The great physician is my God. He's taking care of me. God's grace was all over this girl. And I just said, I'm with her. I'm with her, man. God's grace enables us. When's it kick in? In the nick of time. Just when you need it. God gives it to you. But here's the best part. That is a day one benefit. Man. Isn't that good? Day one benefit. We don't have to wait for it. There's no waiting period. It's not a 90-day trial. No, I mean as soon as you say, yes, Jesus, be my Savior. Full access, indwelling, immediate access to the throne of grace. Wow. And the list goes on. Can I give you just one more? One more. Same day benefit. Day one benefit. We're enabled to know and do God's will on day one. On day one. I like that. You heard me say a moment ago, now I'm going to wrap this up. You heard me say a moment ago that salvation is not progressive. We're not being saved. How many understand that? Right? We are saved. You come to Christ, man, you're saved. Now, look here. You're not what you're going to be because sanctification is progressive. Right? We are being sanctified, we're being set apart, we're becoming more and more like Christ, but that has nothing to do with salvation. Man, we get in, you accept Christ as Savior, you're in the family. So salvation is not progressive. However, it is a complete process. Yeah, it is a complete process. Somebody say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Thank you for asking. Not only is our salvation eternally secure, by the way, if you come to Open Bible, here's what we believe. We make no bones about it, no apologies. We believe once saved, always saved. If you really got it, then it's really got you. You may not be living like you ought to. You may not be experiencing all the blessings and all the benefits, but once saved, always saved. Right? That's what we believe here. It's called eternal security, assurance of salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. Anything else is a farce. Anything else is a lie. So we believe that. But now pay attention. It's also layered. Salvation is a complete process, and it's layered. And what I mean by that is this. It's layered with God's plan, God's promises, God's principles, God's precepts. It's layered. Now, we don't understand that when we get in, right? When did you get in? I got in back here November 1979. That's when I got in. You say, in what? In Christ. I accept the Christ as my Savior, right? I didn't understand all of this, right? It's layered. He didn't just come and dump the truck, the load, on the first day where I got this full knowledge. No, it's layered. But salvation is a complete process. So when, now get this, when you got in, when you got saved, everything became active. You just didn't know it yet. It's there. There's a group, and I almost called them brethren. I don't know if they're brothers and sisters in Christ or not, but there's a group that believes this, that, you know, as the more you surrender to the Holy Spirit, the more of the Holy Spirit you get. And there's something called the second blessing, and that's not Bible. It's good preaching because you can really hold people accountable, and you can really produce guilt. You can really hold something over their head. Huh? But it's not Bible. Mm-mm. No, see, because when you got saved, you got all of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God there is to get on day one. The problem is, He doesn't have all of you. Huh? And as you grow in the Lord, you begin to say, okay, Lord, I'll give you that. And okay, Lord, I'll give you that. And okay, Lord, to the point to where now, Tyler, He's got more of me than I have of me. Do you understand that? See, here's the problem for some. You stop growing somewhere back here because you stop saying yes, Lord. And you just stop right there. It's got to be, okay. And before you know it, man, you look back and He's got more of you than you have. Are you with me? And that's why I say salvation is not progressive, but it is a complete process. And on the first day, God's got a plan for you. Right? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what was God's plan for me? The day I got in, God's plan was for me to become more and more like Jesus. That's the goal. It's not about being a good Baptist. It's not about carrying the right Bible, having the right haircut. No, it's about you and I becoming more and more like Christ. To be like Him, we must find out what He was like. That's why you come to church. That's why we sit under preaching and teaching. We want to find out what Jesus was like because I'm supposed to be like Him. Right? It's Bible. God's got a plan for each of us. We're told this, same book, Romans chapter 12. This verse has been used inside and out so many times, but it's so valid, even for today. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Look at the screen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So here, look here. On day one, God enables us to know His will and do His will on day one, right? Why is it that some people just seem to, I don't know, get with the program quicker than others? Because they just keep saying yes, 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 Lord. I remember when I first started, you know, I came to church and man, the pastor would preach, and at the end of the service, he'd give an invitation, and I didn't understand all that at first. But then when I began to understand that, I thought, you know what? I know me. I got to hold myself accountable. And so I would leave my seat and I would come down, and I didn't care who was looking. It mattered not to me. This is between me and God. And I would come down because I needed that. I needed to see myself. You know what I used to preach? I used to preach this. Life is altered at the altar. And we've given up on the altar. But your life can be altered at the altar if you get serious. Why in the world? If God is working in your heart and trying to change you and lead you to the... Why would you care what anybody else would think? Why would you care who's looking? Who cares? Why would you care that's what we did in the 90s? If it was right in the 90s, it's right in 2025. Come on, man. I haven't said that in a while, Jace. Come on, man. It's my Monday night football thing. Come on, man. And so I remember, man, walking the aisle, and I'd say, Lord, I know you got to be tired of hearing from me, but I'm ready. I'm ready to give it up. I gave you this, and man, you did such a good job with it. I'm ready to give you that. And He'd say, okay, I'll take it. And He'd send me on my way with enablement where I didn't even miss it anymore. Huh? I didn't miss cussing. I didn't miss lying. I didn't miss manipulating. Huh? I'm just confessing some of my sins. I didn't miss it. I didn't miss trying to get ahead by treading on everybody else. I just gave it to Him. Here I am, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm not much, but I'm yours. Amen. Huh? Day one. Day one benefit. See, the Holy Spirit of God gives us the enablement so that we can know God's will and then the help we need to follow God's will for our lives. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Take it from me. I try to present myself as being real. But let me tell you this. I walk with God And I try to live a holy life. I just believe my walking with God and living a holy life puts me on the right level. It doesn't put me up here, because what good would that be? It puts me right here. Because I'm supposed to be an example. I'm supposed to love my brothers and sisters. I'm supposed to be like Christ. Well, Christ was with his people. You know where I was yesterday morning? Me, Steve, a couple other guys, Josh, Don. I was making breakfast for our men. Pastor of the church. Why? Why not? After breakfast, you know what I did? Me, Steve, Don, John, we cleaned up. We cleaned up. Now, I didn't wash pots. Because if my wife finds out, I'm in a heap of trouble. But I made breakfast, cleaned tables, and then came over here and did the rest of my work in preparation for today. Why? Because I'm one of the guys. It would be a shame if they said, nope, Pastor, you can't do that. Why? Well, because you're a pastor. So? I'm pastor, but I'm also a Christian. I'm also a member of this church. I'm also a man. I also love to cook. I really like to eat, but I love to cook too. We've lost that because we've had some leaders, Tyler, some leaders that have put themselves up on a pedestal. You can't get close to them. You can't touch them. There's a mystique about them. Let me tell you what's mysterious about me. Nothing. Nothing. If I should happen to catch you in my rearview mirror, I'll slow down. But if not, you can't catch up. But I walk with God. And I know him. And I spend time with him. And he's real to me. And I want more than anything in my life his will to be fulfilled. Because I know this. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In fact, when you think about it, you can really never say no, Lord. Because once you say no, he's not Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Benefits. And you know, the list goes on. In fact, we keep discovering the benefits of our salvation as time passes. One of my all-time favorite songs, I'm finished, written by Ron Hamilton. I won't sing it, but the song is, it's called I'm Adopted. I love that song. The words go like this. I'm adopted. I'm a child of the King. God is my Father, and he owns everything. Listen, he walks beside me. He's my very best friend. Praise God, I'll never be lonely again. I'm adopted. Hallelujah. I got a new song. I'm adopted. Hallelujah. I finally belong. I've got a brand new family overflowing with love. I'm a child of my Father above. Aaron, I wish we'd sing that. Do you know that song? Come sing it right now. No, I'm just kidding. He's always suspicious when I say, Aaron. Always hesitant to say, yes. You never know what's going to leave. So let me ask you this morning, are you a member of the King's family? Are you born again? Are you enjoying the full benefits of membership in God's family? Let's take a moment to talk to the Lord. Let's do that. Every one of us, individually. Go ahead and talk to your Father. Are you saved? Well, if you are, you are a member of God's family with access to the full benefits. I could have went on with that list, on and on. God's promises, God's presence, over and over. Day one. Are we enjoying access into God's family? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Are you enjoying your Christian life? In just a moment, these team members will sing. The invitation is open. You might come and talk to the Lord. Like I said about myself, don't be ashamed. It's between you and God. God speaks to you. Let me invite you to come. Speak to him. You ought to learn to speak to him about how he spoke to you. Make decisions based upon that. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you'll help us to understand the total concept of salvation, the total package, all the benefits, all the rights and benefits, day one, are ours to access. And I would pray you'll teach us to access them on a regular basis. If there's someone here this morning who has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, Father, we pray for that you bring that conviction, that you bring that awareness, and that you'll bring that confidence they'll need to put their faith and trust in you once for all, saved once for all. And for those of us who are saved, God, I pray you'll bless us today with an understanding of how great it is to be saved. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together. I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached and just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us. And I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.